Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
I feel like the Lord has given me a word for us today. And it's a word for me, myself, because it's something I deal with and something I think we all go through. So I want to preach to you a sermon today that may be a little bit out of characteristic. It may seem out of characteristic for the time and the season that we're in, or so it seems, really. So we just had the Thanksgiving holiday, and that was great. I hope everyone had. Did you have a good Thanksgiving holiday? Praise the Lord for that, right? Thank God for that. And now right around the corner, we're approaching Christmas, the day we set aside to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so here we are in December with Christmas fastly approaching, and then the new year drawing in shortly after that. And December is, 'tis the season to be jolly. Amen? Amen? Y'all with me? All right, so we love Christmas at our house. It's a joyful, peaceful holiday, and most holidays are, okay? But with that, especially as life progresses, as you go through some things in life, those same joyful, peaceful holidays can sometimes be very difficult. They can, okay? And they can be difficult for many different reasons, and I'll just give you a few. Sometimes at Christmas, right, the money gets tight, and you're just not able to do maybe what you want to do or feel you should be doing or what you want to do in that area. And so as that happens, you get all these thoughts and lies, whispers from the enemy that come and says, they're trying to infiltrate your head, and they say, well, you haven't done enough. You're letting your family down. You're not good enough. You let your friends or yourself down. Thoughts and lies from the enemy that are belittling and demeaning towards you. And can I just tell you something this morning? If the things you are saying or hearing about yourself in your head are demeaning or belittling towards you, that's not of God. That's not the voice of God. So it's the enemy. We got to recognize that that's the enemy, and the enemy is coming to attack our mind, right? Anybody ever been on a mental attack? Okay. I say another way that the holidays can be very difficult is if you have experienced loss in your family. Okay. And I'm going to be very open and candid up here. I just try to keep it real up here. I try to be as genuine as I can. But this is a journey that I'm walking through right now still myself. Okay. My mother went home to be with the Lord February 15th, 2022. To this day, it is still the hardest thing I've ever went through, and I still walk through, because it comes in different ways, okay? My mother loved the holidays and birthdays more than anything in the world. And I'll tell you why she loved them, because that was a time for her family to get together, and there was nothing she loved more than her family, okay? So she loved the holidays, she loves birthdays, okay? So after she was completely healed and in the presence of Jesus, every holiday since then has not felt the same for me, okay? And so you have these thoughts when those times come around, and even at random times. What could I have done better? What else should I have said to let this person know that I love so much, to let them know that I love them that much? Could I have done things differently? And so there's all these thoughts of coulda, shoulda, woulda. And with that, sometimes comes waves of grief. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody experience what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, I'm a firm believer that grief is a process that God gave us actually to help us through loss. Even the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, hey, there is a time to mourn. There's a time of mourning. But this is what I know. We were never meant to be bound by grief. We were never meant to be a prisoner of regret. We were never meant to belittle or demean ourselves or put ourselves down in any way. We were never meant to be a victim of our own minds through the lies and the whispers of the enemy. So what we need to realize in those moments, any of those difficult moments in our mind, is we need to realize that we are under the attack of the enemy in our mind. And really, that's what I want to preach to you about today, getting through the mental attack. Getting through the mental attack. So to do that, we're going to look at in the Bible at Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Okay, two chapters in the Bible. Now, Psalm 42 and 43 are two separate chapters in the book of Psalms in our Bible, but most biblical theologians believe that they were written at the same time. Okay? And so as we look at it in our Bibles, it looks like two separate psalms or songs. That's what psalms means. It means songs. But in reality, the likelihood is that this was one psalm written at one time, and it's widely believed that these psalms were written by King David while he was on the run for his life in the wilderness from his own son Absalom, okay? So this was a time where David had already been king for many, many years, yet now he was on the run for his life in the wilderness. So David was a fugitive in his own land from his own family, specifically his own son, Absalom, who was trying to overthrow him and take his throne as king. And so this is what we know if we study the life of David. This was not David's first go-round in the wilderness. Right, he's been in the wilderness before when he had been running for his life from King Saul, because David was anointed by God to be king, the next king, and Saul didn't want that to happen, so he was chasing him, trying to kill him. So David, before he was ever king as a young man, was on the run for his life in the wilderness. So knowing this, we know that David, as the Bible tells us, is a man after God's own heart. He had some ups and some down season in his life, right? Amen. He had seasons of what seemed like mountaintop blessings, and he had seasons of what seemed like barrenness and what seemed like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I really want us to see that, because it's very important for us to understand that we are all going to have good and bad seasons. Being a believer and a follower of Christ, a Christian, does not exempt us from the heartaches and the hardships of this fallen world. But having God in those moments to help us get through makes us more than a conqueror. Amen? Amen. Okay. So having Jesus, having the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, gets us through those mental attacks that come with the down seasons of this life. Okay? So for David at this moment, it looks like he's losing his family. It looks like he's losing his kingly position that God gave him and anointed him for. And probably to David at this moment, it looks like he's losing everything. It feels like he's losing everything. I'm on the run for my life. My own family's trying to kill me. And so it's at this moment that he writes Psalm 42 and 43. Okay? And he really gives us a glimpse of what's going through his mind, the attack that he's going through, and really how to overcome that. So I'm going to read... actually, the whole chapter of Psalm 42. It's 11 verses. I'm going to read Psalm 42. Then as we close, I'll try to read Psalm 43. Psalm 42, 1 through 11. Says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. I want y'all to remember, they, who is they? He's going to tell us a little bit later. While they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go to with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning? Because the oppression of the enemy, as with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they, that's your they, who's they? It's the enemy. while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now something I always say that I love about David is this, is he just keeps it real with God. If you go and you read the Psalms and you look at the life of David, but you look at the Psalms that David wrote, and you can not only just see, but you can actually feel in his writings through the power of the Holy Spirit, David was just genuine with God. And he told him how he felt in prayer and in song. He just kept it real with him, right? But what you always see with David in the middle of that, he may have kept it real with God, but he may have felt abandoned at times. He may have felt like he was in a place of despair at times, but he never loses his song or his praise or his hope in God. He never loses it. Now, I want to look at how David starts out this psalm. He says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, anybody recognize that scripture? Anybody? Wayne Jones. Wow, we need to get in our Bible more. Anybody in this house recognize that scripture? Okay. Y'all need to wake up on me. All right. Wayne, I'm glad you read your Bible, brother. That's a very popular scripture, right? It's been quoted many times. It's been put on housing decorations. I've seen it in Hobby Lobby. I was about to say Big Lots. It's not Big Lots. Hobby Lobby. I've seen it in Hobby Lobby on those decorations. I've heard it incorporated into songs. But I really don't know if we've ever really understood what David is saying right there, right? As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. Now, we're in hunting season. Can I get an amen from any hunters in the house? Amen. All right. And I know we got deer hunters in here, all right? And hopefully some of them can back me up on this, but I actually called Clint this week because I know he hunts a lot too. But as I was researching this, I found this is what it said. Normally, deer mostly only pant after they run, okay? And they run with great energy for two reasons, okay? When they're in rut, okay? And then when they're running from a predator in fear for their lives. That's the two main reasons they run with great energy. And I would say if a doe's running from a buck in rut, she probably feels like she's running from a predator, okay? Now, I'm not a deer hunter. I'm a big fisherman. I've never really been a big hunter, okay? But I love to watch nature shows. I love to watch National Geographic. I watched it growing up. I love to watch that Planet Earth and those documentaries, Life, and documentaries on the wilderness, and just all these things, okay? And watching a lot of that, I couldn't think of a time that I'd seen a deer or a gazelle or antelope, anything like that, pant, except for when they were running for their lives from predators. Anybody else ever watched those episodes and seeing that where it's chasing like a gazelle or a deer? Y'all don't like nature shows? Okay. All right. Who likes it when the deer or the antelope gets away? Who likes it? Leave your hands up. Look around. The rest of these people are sickos. There's something wrong with you. No, I'm just kidding. So I just typed into Google, why or when do deer pant for water? The top answer was when they're chased by a predator. That was the top answer, okay? After being chased by a predator, the first thing a deer does is seek a water source. I don't know if you've ever ate deer. I've eaten a lot of deer, okay? But deer is a very lean meat. It's a very lean meat, okay? And when they run from a predator, deer's a lean animal. When they run from a predator, when they run from their enemy, they can use up a significant amount of its water reserve in its body. And so this leads to heavy breathing, heavy panting, and sometimes for deer, even death from dehydration because it sends their body and their heart into shock. Just from running from a predator and using up their water reserve, it caused them to go into shock and they'll die. I didn't know that. I found that out this week, all right? So really, finding a water source after being chased by its enemy is a life and death situation for deer. I'm going to tell you something. David would have known this. David didn't have Publix. He didn't have the Food Line, Food City, anything like that, Ingles. They hunted for their food, right? And this is what David was saying right here. I am on the run for my life from my enemies. And if I don't find a water source, I'm going to die. That's what he's saying. But this is what he goes on to say. But I know that you, my God, are my source, and you, my God, are my strength. You are the water that I need when I come under attack from the enemy. My soul, my heart, my mind, they are panting for you. And if I don't have you, I don't know that I'll make it. I would say that David was under a pretty serious attack in his mind if he says, I don't know, God, that I'm going to make it if I don't get a drink from you, right? And he goes on to say right after that, my tears have been my food day and night while they say to me, where is your God? The enemy, even his own mind, the whispers of the lion in his own mind was saying, where is your God? In verse 9, David even asks, why have you forgotten me? I feel so far from you. Why have you forgotten me? But listen, David knew this, and we need to know this. God is the water source that we need when we are under attack, even from our own minds. He's the water source we need to go to. He's the only place that we can find true refreshment. So I'm going to give you four things you can do when you're under a mental attack to find your water in God. To find your water in God. Here's number one. Realize that you are in a battle. That is, it's an attack. You got to realize first that the thoughts that you're having, when they're negative, when they're belittling, and they're things like that, you got to realize when you're having these thoughts that you're in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. Because the first thing the enemy's going to do when things go wrong is he'll whisper in your ear, where's God? Where's God? Where is your God? Look at you. Look at what you're going through right now. Where is your God? You have served God for all these years, and now this person that you love has betrayed you. This person that you love has passed away. Where is your God in that moment? You have served God all these years, and now here, right at Christmas, you have lost your job. Where's your God at right now? Where's your provider at right now? You have served God all these years, and now your marriage is in shambles. You serve God, and all this has happened, and all that has happened. Where is your God? That's the way Satan works. He's an accuser. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize and realize that we are in spiritual battle when those thoughts hit our mind. And I want to teach you a four-word phrase that you can use when you realize that you're in a spiritual battle in your mind, and you can use this against the enemy. You can use this against the devil. This comes from Jude, verse 9. The book of Jude's one chapter, right? Doesn't have any more chapters. So it's Jude, verse 9. This is what it says. Yet Michael the archangel, this is an archangel of God, tells us how he dealt with the devil. In contending with the devil, when he disputed, the devil was disputing about the body of Moses. I don't know all the details on that. Doesn't tell us, but there was obviously an argument with the archangel of God, right? It says, Michael dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. He didn't sit there and argue and bicker with the devil. This is what he said, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Listen to me. When you realize that you're in a spiritual battle in your mind with the enemy, this is what I want you to say to the enemy. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. You don't have to argue with him and call him names. I guess you can if you want to, but all you got to do is say these four words. The Lord rebuke you. When he comes to you and he says, well, that's it. You've messed up too many times. You've really blown it this time. It's over for you. This is all your fault. That you're a terrible person. Blah, 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 blah. All he says, realize that you're in a battle. Understand who your enemy is. And then turn to him and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord rebuke you. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number one, you got to realize you're in a battle and you rebuke the devil. You rebuke him. Number two, stop listening to yourself. I put in parentheses your soul or mind. I'm gonna explain that a little bit better. Stop listening to yourself. This is Psalm 42:4. This is what David said. He said, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me." You know what he's saying? I talk to myself. I pour out my soul within me. I talk to myself. And then we can actually hear him pour out his soul. This is what he says. "For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." Listen, when you're fighting a battle of depression, it's hard to cheer yourself up when you're listening to the soulish part of you, okay? I'm going to explain that a little bit more in just a minute, okay? But a depressed person trying to cheer up a depressed person doesn't work that often, right? It's kind of like I've had moments, I'm going to throw men under the bus. I've had moments where something has happened to me or it's happened to my boys, and it's really just bothered me. Maybe it's upset me in an emotional way, or maybe it's angered me, riled me up, bothered me. Most of the time that deals with sports. but Amanda can read me like a book, and she'll say, "What's wrong with you?" And I'll say, "I don't want to tell you, because I don't want to make you mad or get you upset as well." And she'll say, "No, let's just talk about it. I think I can help, and maybe it'll calm you down," and I'll eventually get it out of me, and I'll tell her everything. And before you know it, we're both mad. And she's wanting to do stuff I never even thought about doing. And angry people trying to help angry people is only going to make more people angry. What we have to do in those moments is allow the Spirit of God to speak to us. Whether that's through a person, because he uses people, whether that's through getting in his word, or maybe that's just taking a time out and cutting on some praise and worship music and saying, "God, speak to me." We got to let the Holy Spirit speak to us in those moments, right? I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm feeling, God. I know what I'm even saying to myself in my own mind. But God, what is it that you are saying about this situation? Stop listening to yourself and start listening to what the Spirit of God says about it. Okay, so once you realize you're in a spiritual battle, you stop listening to yourself, you allow God to speak to you on the matter, what do you do next? Here's point three. And I know this is going to sound a little funny because I already told you to stop listening to yourself. But number three is start preaching to yourself. Start preaching to yourself. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. David said, "I pour out my soul within me." Soul is another way of saying self or psyche. Okay? Which is, your psyche is your mind, your will, your emotions. That's your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let me say this. It's your mind that you're having a battle with. It's your feelings and emotions you're having the problem with. And both of those are going to affect your decisions, what you do in this body, okay? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Stop listening to yourself and stop preaching to yourself. In other words, I'm saying stop listening to your soul, your own mind, and start preaching to your soul through your spirit. Okay? Stop listening to your soul and let your spirit preach to the soulish part of you. This is why David said in Psalm 42:5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to his own mind, and cast down right there means, actually it means pushed down. It means depressed. "Why are you so depressed, O my soul?" Why are you so depressed, my own mind? "And why are you disquieted within me?" disquieted, I'm in homeschool stage. Dis is a prefix that means the opposite of not quiet. Disquieted simply means not quiet. He's saying, my own mind will not be quiet on the inside of me. It's roaring within me. It won't let me rest. It gives me no peace, my own mind. Why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you not quiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So David is saying to his own mind, to his own soul, why are you depressed? Why will you not be quiet with all the negativity? Why will you not be quiet with all this downcast thoughts? Why do you keep roaring within me? So you gotta put your hope in God. David stopped listening to his own mind, and he allowed his spirit that is connected with God to preach to himself. Let me show you another scripture from David. This is another psalm. David wrote this psalm, Psalm 131, verse 2. This is what he said. He said, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Listen how. Like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, here's David talking about having to quiet his own soul, his own mind again. And he says, it's like my soul is like a weaned child within me. Now, what is a weaned child like? Let's just break that down. When you're weaning a child from its mother's milk or from a bottle, what does that child do? Can I get a parent in the house to testify? What does that child do? Cry. And then it cries some more. And then it cries some more. And it'll pitch a fit and cry. And give me a bottle! Right? I want my milks! That's what Elisha called it. He called it milks. I want my milks. You don't love me. You won't give me my bottle. Right? That's a weaned child. They pitch a fit. Okay? This is how David said, that's what our soul does. Literally, that's what our soul does when we don't give it what it wants. Paul said to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, I should be feeding you solid food by now, but I still have to give you milk. Why? Because they were still soulish people, and they had not grown spiritually and allowed their spirit to preach to their self. Right? Okay. See, let me explain this. You have a soul, you have a spirit, and you live in a body, right? Okay? And really, our spirit should be telling our soul what to do, and then our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, tells this body what to do. Your soul, again, is your mind, will, and emotions. It comes to life at conception. Your soul comes to life at conception in your mother's womb. I can remember when Amanda was pregnant with Elisha, we went and we did a 3D, 4D ultrasound. And I'll never forget it. They took these pictures, but while we're in that room, she's showing us Elisha in the womb, and this is Elisha in the womb. Am I right? He had both arms behind his head, just chilling in the womb, like, yeah, this is cool, man. I kid you not. From the time it came out, from a baby, even to this day, he's still. He just chills. That's how he chills. His soul came to life at conception, right? So our soul comes alive at conception, but our spirits come to life when we get saved, right? Let me read you this. This is Paul teaching and preaching to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5. He says, and you he made alive. Okay, you were already alive physically, but he's saying he made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power air, that's the devil, right? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, I love that two word statement. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In other words, what Paul is saying right here is our spirits were brought to life in Christ. The cross was more than enough, right? Right? When we are saved, we're brought to life in Christ. And before we got saved, we just did what we wanted to do. Whatever this flesh, whatever this mind, this soulish part of us wanted to do, we just did it. But now that we've been saved and we've been born again, our spirit is alive and connected with Christ and seated in heavenly places. And our spirit, which is alive and connected with Christ, should be telling our mind what to do. And this is a biblical principle you see throughout the entire Bible, from the Old Testament to the New. But it's God's way of telling us and showing us our spirit, who is born again, the younger should be showing the older what to do. Okay? Now don't go out of here if you're a younger sibling and say, Pastor Andrew said, the younger's in charge. This is a spiritual principle. Okay? But you see this throughout the Word of God. Very beginning, Genesis, with Cain and Abel. See it with Cain and Abel. Abel brought the more excellent sacrifice. Cain got mad. He got angry. He pouted about it. And God said, why are you angry? If you'll do what you're asked, all will be well. It's kind of like David's soul was pouting. I used to go with the multitude. Right? Right? So you see this with Isaac and Ishmael, the sons of Abraham. Ishmael was from the desire of the flesh. Isaac was the promised seed with favor, the younger. You see it with Jacob and Esau, the younger. You see it with Joseph and his brothers. You see it with David and his brothers. He was chosen, anointed king. You see it even in the New Testament when Jesus gives the story of the prodigal son. Okay? Here's my point to all of this. Spiritually speaking, the older shall serve the younger. Your spirit should be preaching to your soul when it is in despair and when it's whining like a weaned child, and it should be saying exactly what David said to his. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why will you not be quiet within me? Hope in the God of your salvation, because you will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Let your spirit preach to your soul. Okay? Here's my last point. Point four, man, you can make your way. What can you do when you're going through a mental and spiritual attack? Here's the last thing. Seek God's face. When you are under attack, you need to seek the face of God like a deer seeks water. I want to point out something to you in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, because there's a repetitive saying within these psalms, okay? Psalm 42:5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 42:11, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Why are you, Psalm 43:5, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, these three verses sound like they are exactly the same, but they're not. Two of them are, right? Psalm 42:5 says, for the help of his countenance. I looked up countenance, just what it said in the dictionary. You know what it says? Face. Countenance means face. But as you progress in this psalm, and David allows his spirit to preach to his own mind, his own soul, and he tells it to be quiet, David says, the help of my countenance and my God. You know what David's saying right there in these psalms as he progresses? He's saying, when I seek his face, when I seek his countenance, it changes my face. It changes my countenance. Come on, there's something powerful about that. If I will just look at his countenance, it'll change my countenance. And that's why in Psalm 43:4, David says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp, I will praise you, O God, my God. As he preached to himself, as this progressed, and he told his soul to be quiet, he told his mind to be quiet, and he started to seek the face of God, David says, I'm going to go to the altar, my God, to God my exceeding joy. And this is what I believe. You know, I'm speaking on behalf of David right here. But I believe he was thinking, even if I'm in the wilderness. He said, I used to go with the multitude to the house of God. But even if I'm in the wilderness and I can't even get to the house of God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab my harp. And I'm going to sing praise to my God. David had played this harp since he was a young boy. He used to be brought to King Saul's palace. And as he would play, it says the evil spirits would leave. And he reminded himself as he told his mind to be quiet, and as he dealt with all the grief and the loss and the betrayal and the hurt and everything he was going through, and he told his soul to be quiet, to hope in God, he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my harp, and I'm going to begin to praise God again, because he is my joy. He is my salvation. He is my peace. He is my victory. He is everything I need. You can do the same thing too. You can tell your mind, whatever you're going through, to hope in God. I'm going to tell you something. If you're in that situation, what you got to do is seek his face. You need a change in your life? Seek the face of God. You need a mindset to change in your life, in your own mind? Seek the face of God. You need a situation and breakthrough in your life? Seek the face of God. You need your finances to change? Seek the face of God. You need healing in your body? Seek the face of God. You need him, and you pant for him like the deer pants for water. If y'all would, please stand at your feet. Maybe that's you this morning. Holidays are great. I love them more than anything. I got a lot of my mom in me. There's nothing I love more than being, you know, with family and friends and celebrating. It's there's nothing like it to me. But a lot of times, those attacks can come in my own mind. I really feel like if I'm not preaching to anybody today, I'm preaching to myself. How to get through these moments when the enemy comes to attack you and tries to bring you down. Maybe you hear this word and you say, Pastor Andrew, that's me. I've been struggling, right? I've been going through a mental and a spiritual attack. I got good news for you today. Hope in God. For you shall yet again praise him. The help of his countenance, the help of his face. Seek his face this morning. Maybe you hear this word and you say, Pastor Andrew, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even have a relationship with Christ. Maybe you know all about him, but you never come into relationship with him. I'm talking about where you actually have a relationship. You pray and you talk with him. You worship him. You spend time worshiping. You get in his word. If you don't have that today, you can have it. It's freely given, right? The cross was enough. The blood was enough to wipe away every sin in your life and the sins of the whole world. What do you do to receive that? You confess him as Lord, Romans 10, 9. You confess him as the Lord and Savior of your life. You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. God will clean you up from there. You don't clean yourself up, come to him. He cleans us up. I can't clean myself up. I need him to wash me. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just going to say, hey, if you need to seek the face of God as they sing, come meet him here. Come meet him here. That's your invitation. As they sing, come meet him here. Seek his face.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.